We're back with Success in the Evening with your host, Coach Ricky Terry. Man, we are having fun today. We had Cedric Nash on here. We had Chris McBrien on here, and the flight crew was in rare form. Guys, real quick, what did you think about our guests so far? What's your thoughts? Aaron Warner, anybody, what's your thoughts?
Great advice, honestly. And what I really liked about what Chris said most recently was how he targeted individuals. Mm-hmm. And basically was like, hey, these are the top producers and I'm going to surround myself around those individuals, because it's really about like the energy and just being around the right people and leveraging them once you've built that great relationship.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad you touched that about being around the top producers. When I was managing and leading salespeople, I would often have them say, once we brought them on the team, who's the number one guy? I want to be able. And then they brought anything but number one effort. The number one people in companies will not wait. And Cedric talked about this. They will not waste their time with people who are not willing to go all in. And Chris even backed that up by saying, you've got to be willing to sacrifice. Number one doesn't come because you showed up. You've got to be willing to sacrifice. And that's something the football team that I am their mental coach now, and shout out to Long Reach High School up in Howard County. They had their scrimmage and they did really, really, really well. Now we got some things we need to work on, and the coaches are doing a fantastic job. But some of the things we've got to learn to do is remember, we are responsible for our own personal success. And that's one of the reasons why I asked the guest to come on the day that I did. Darian, did you have anything?
The one thing that I loved is, like you said, when you're talking about the different things that you have to do as an individual, I mean, you know them, but it's reinforcing to hear successful people say it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you have successful people telling you certain things, you have to pay attention because you'll hear it, you know. At some point, it's like, you know what? Everybody has said the same thing. Mm-hmm. So once at that point, you know, you have to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing is like really, if you think about it, nothing is new. Like there's no new trick to the books. Everything's mm-hmm. pretty redundant. Mm-hmm. It's just how you take in the information.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the question, Mo, for you. And we're going to do it short here. You're a single individual. Now, mm-hmm. you work with loan officers and the such. Mm-hmm. But what are you doing to make sure you stay on top of your game?
Ooh, so I'm doing a number of things. I have, you know, accountability partners, my lovely, shout out to my family, even my friends. And
bodyguard?
I was thinking about the bodyguard.
Hey, bodyguard.
Oh, don't worry. You don't got to say, hey, she's in the other wing.
She's watching.
She's on the scope. Yeah, she's
ready for our meeting tomorrow.
Red dot already. It's fine.
So, yeah, just surrounding myself. Like he says, I do build a lot of relationships. Obviously, I'm in sales. So a lot of things I do, I surround myself around the right people. I build relationships with people. And then, obviously, when I need those relationships, I leverage them.
Well, I'm going to say you got a plan. And speaking of a plan, hear me loud and clear. Because I struggled with something when I first started this whole venture of One Due North and how I was going to go forth. And I just finished pastoring two churches. And, you know, I got, you know, as we were getting ready to do all the videos and all the stuff, I had to learn. There was no training in this. No one grabbed me and said, here's how it's done. Now, shout out to one of my mentors, Dr. Willie Jolly, who's agreed to be on the show as well. Big shout out to him. But no one took my hand and said, here's how you advertise. Here's how you do this. I had to go find that stuff. And I made a whole lot of mistakes. I'm not the world's greatest speller. As you know, I don't pronunciate all my words. But yet, I was reminded recently, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Everybody that has come through this show, I've connected with. And I'm here. And as you can hear the lions roaring, they'll tell you, I'm here. But there is no greater connection I've had in my adult life than the man that is sitting to my right. There is no amount of honor that I could even mention that would even begin to tell you guys how crucial it is to have someone in your life who does not get excited, that does not panic, that does not set an example that is anything other than top notch. And that is who I call my pastor. He is the man that has been in my life, as I told you, 25, 30 years now. And he is a retired Army chaplain. He is the co-author of Retired from the Military, Refueled for the Mission, Howard James Bush Jr. How are you, sir?
Thank you so much, Ricky. I appreciate that. And I want to capture something he said when we're talking about it. Notice he used the word honor. That is critical. Because when you honor somebody, you will bring out the best in them.
Well, sir, I want to thank you for coming down and agreeing. I waited a long time to have you on the show. It was important to me that you get here, but it was even more important that it be right, and not the building, not the aesthetics, but me, that I be right. Because I had the pleasure of, you know, guarding your life. That's one of the... Thank you. That's one of the greatest pleasures that anybody can have when they're given a mission to make sure that the person in front of you is safe, and not just militarily, but your wonderful wife and co-pastor, Miss Bush, entrusted me with you and your children as well. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and a little bit about the book. And we already know you're coming back, so we don't even have to rush.
Well, first of all, I just want to send a shout out to my wife, Miss Andrea Bush. Hello there, dear. Hopefully you're listening, but I'll tell anyone right now, that is the woman that keeps me on my toes. And if I thought I was going to be comfortable and complacent, she's not going to let it happen.
No.
But in terms of answer to a little bit about my life, first of all, I would like them to know how you and I came together, because I think that's important.
Because we're going to talk about your book.
We're going to talk about the book, but see, that's the component. Because I'm going to tell everyone straight up, I'm a God fanatic, okay? So you will not hear me say, do anything without God, because he is, if any success I have, it's been because of God. And I'm not here to talk religion. I'm talking about a relationship. We have a relationship. How did we meet?
I get to tell the truth on this one?
Yes.
Well, I was struggling with a Army chaplain. I was struggling with my place in religion, and I didn't understand faith. And everywhere I turned up, this man kept turning up. Every time I turned around, I was saluting him. And the next thing I know, I was assigned to him. And that's one of the greatest assignments I've ever had in my life, to protect him, to be there, to understand that if I had to die so that the word could get out, then that was what I had to do, because he was saving souls and bringing real soldiers to God. And if you're going into battle and you don't have a God, you are already in trouble. And then he made me his Joshua. And it was such a profound moment in my life that I knew at some point, if I had a second son, his name would be Joshua. That's also the name of your son. And what I didn't know is a term, sir, called armor bearer. And to become your armor bearer was, yet again, the honor of a lifetime. And you began to educate me not on religion, but on faith. And it has been that faith that I've been able to stand on. It's been that faith that I've been able to bring my family into. And it's been that faith that I give to One Due North and Success in the Evening. And it's that unshakable faith, as my son said, that no matter what the odds, my pastor said to me the day my daughter was getting married on the boat, on the yacht, I should say, the day she was getting married on the yacht, you said to me, I'm challenging you to go to a new height. That's all I know, sir. Anything else, it's on you.
Well, that's what I really wanted to get across. This is, first of all, our relationship is about a divine assignment. God gives divine assignments. When we came here, because I had, my story is simply this in this book, is that this is a testimony. That's what this book is about. It's a testimony. It's a testimony about a young man who grew up in Sacramento, California. I grew up relatively sheltered. I didn't realize all the storms going around in my family, with my family, because my mother and father, they protected us. We had to be in at a certain time. We did certain things. And even despite all that, believe me, I tried to get in as much trouble as I could. But the one thing that I did not understand I didn't understand about life. That life does have a path. God does have a reason for sending us here. And many times, if you don't know your purpose, you make a mess. Mm. And believe me, by the time I got through doing all I had to do, I had made a mess. And that's when the military came in. Because I went into the military, not because I had a plan. It's because I was running from my mess. And that's when God and I had a conversation.
Tell us about it, Pastor.
Well, I didn't even know God could really talk to you. But I was mad, and I said, God, I'm trying to do all you're telling me to do, because I mean, I'm trying to clean my life up. I'm trying to do the right thing, and yet it seems like I'm more of a mess now than I was before. If you are really God, and I mean, I said this, then you're going to have to show yourself real. If not, I'm going to just try to work this thing out the best way I can, as though I really knew how. But the fact is, I'm going to do that the best I can and just go ahead and live life the way I can do it.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because, see, I know the story. It's interesting you say that, sir, because I know the story. I know the story because I took time to read Retired from the Military, Refueled for the Mission, even though I've known you forever. One of the things I found out about you is that exact conversation you had. And tell us, now you've gotten your life together, you've gotten that relationship with God, you are now out of basic training, you've met the man with the big hat, the drill sergeant, and that's what he describes him as, the man with the big hat in the book. You met him, you get your duty station, and you've gotten your relationship together with God. What's the first thing the enemy did to you when you were picked up by your NCO and all that? What's the first thing that happened?
Well, I'm going to just say it really nicely. As I have I do like women, okay? And the first thing they wanted to do is take us to a club.
Let me break that down for you. He gets off the plane.
You need to break that down?
Yeah, I'm going
to break
it down.
Okay, go ahead.
He gets off the airplane. He's wearing his shiny new faith, and he's feeling good about where he's finally come to in life. You know, sometimes you'll get to a point and you feel good about where you are, and the first thing that will come at you will check to see if you think you're really where you are. Well, my pastor, who was not pastoring at that time, got picked up by the people who greeted him mm-hmm. from the Air Force and said, we're going to show you a good time. Mm-hmm. And the first place they take him, or they start to, is to the strip club. Now,
so that was the Air Force.
Here's the thing. At some point, you're going to have to sacrifice, and you're going to have to decide what you really want. So when that moment came, Pastor, and you don't want to, you know, tick people off on your first day, what? How did you get out of that? Because you just got your shiny new faith, and they want to mess up your Tonka truck. What happened?
Well, you almost took me right back to the moment. Let me just put it this way. I'm sitting in the back of my car. I got these he's my NCO. All these people were brand new. You want to make a good impression, and here I am. I've made this relationship with God. I said, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do what you call me to do. And I'm facing this, and I said, yes, hey, gentlemen, I have to, I'm a Christian, and I can't go to that place. So can you turn around and bring me back? Oh. And they looked at me as though I was crazy. I had just taken the air out of their balloon. And believe me, they did get me back, because they said, okay, we got this holy roller, that's what they called me, in the car. They took me back, and they said, you got an assignment now. You must fix this supply that was a mess. Mm. Fix it. And now you're responsible for it. And when they did that, I knew I was in trouble. But this is what God does. I had also read in my newfound faith that if you go the extra mile, somebody said go 1 mile, you go the extra mile.
Come on now. Mm.
So I said, okay, that's fine. I got this assignment. So I stayed all night, all day, the next night. And when they got back, it was a weekend, they put me on this now. They got back, they looked at that supply closet, and it was meticulously ordered, set up, done right, and they were shocked. And I'm just here to tell you, see, sometimes when people mean to do you wrong, they're actually doing you right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because what they did is they showed me that when I went the extra mile, I set a standard.
Come on, Pastor.
And when I set the standard, they knew, hey, this young man, this young airman, Even though we tried to punish him, he did above and beyond. And as a result of that, I began to get a standard established. And I began, I went from airman to a E5, a staff sergeant, in 1 year.
Wow.
All because I had set a standard.
Well, guys, you heard it. If you get no more today, you've got to sacrifice those things that are not necessarily for you for the things that are. We always look at it the other way, but no, sometimes you got to flip the script. And what Pastor said, I know he means that. Now, I wasn't with him during that part of your life, but Pastor, I want to take you back. We were getting ready. We were in Hawaii, Schofield Barracks, and we were getting ready to go on one of our first retreats together. And you had put it together. And of course, I'm at your side. And it's during the time that President Clinton was going through. We were sitting at a red light, and the first lesson you gave me was on how everybody's at the red light, but how we react to the different colors of the light aren't necessarily the same. That was the first lesson you ever gave me. The second lesson was, while President Clinton was going through this thing, there was various opinions, and just like today, but just more of it, there was a lot of conversation that was just gossip. It wasn't helping. And you said something that I never forgot. And you said the Bible says that we are to pray for our leaders. And that just stuck with me because it was easier, and it would have been easier to join in the conversation about what's wrong and what I would do and all this. But the true fact is prayer changes things. You taught me that. So when my life was a mess and it was my mess, I knew there was only one thing that was going to bring me out of it. And I'm talking about when my life was a mess in corporate America. I'm talking about when my life was a mess in my marriage. I'm talking about when life was a mess. The only thing that ever brought me out of it was the lesson you taught me, that we are to pray for our leaders. And then it hit me, wait a minute, I'm a leader. It is not selfish to pray for myself. As a matter of fact, I want to say to anybody, the greatest prayer you'll ever do is the prayer you pray for yourself, because it kept me alive through a lot of lion dens. And you know some of my lion dens. And so, sir, what do you say about prayer?
Well, I'm very grateful that you brought that up. And I hadn't even remembered that. So thank you for reminding me of that. But the word of God will not return void. Mm. If you want to have something to stand on, stand on that. One of the things that it does say is to pray for our leaders, and the fact that we shift atmospheres. You can go into a place, and when you have, I heard him talking about his light. You do have a light. God created everyone in his image and likeness. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish and have everlasting life. The fact is, God wants every one of his creations that has a gift and a calling to recognize that they are here for a purpose, for a reason, and what they add, they bring together, we all grow up. Mm. So God's kingdom is not, his thoughts and his ways are not our ways. Mm. Now, I did hear a lot of things. There's some principles, there's some laws, the law of gravity. I tell people, the law of gravity, you jump off this building, you're coming down. Mm-hmm. Unless you have understood a higher law, you understand the law of lift. It could take however ton aircraft and just lift it up, because they understood the law of lift. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus walked on the water.
Come on.
Jesus multiplied bread.
Come on.
Jesus healed the sick. And see, he said that greater works. When you said something about being a leader and helping people, see, as a coach, you draw, as a pastor, as anything we're doing, we're drawing out something that's already inside. And when we see somebody excel us, I mean, Dr. Miles Monroe, I know you're familiar. He said this, your greatest gift to the earth or to anything is when you create or help another person become a greater leader than you are. And when I heard that, and when I heard you say that, it made my heart tingle.
Well, I learned from you. I make no bones about that. But one of the things I love too, because you tread on it, is Zig Ziglar, one of the great minds of what I do, said when you help enough people get what they want, you'll get everything you want. That don't mean, you know, you only help the people who are going to pay you. That don't mean you only help the people who like you. I've helped more enemies than I've helped people who like me. And I'm okay with that because my heart is good. Now, I got to ask you, Pastor. A lot of people get successful and then they forget God. you get everything you want. And as I've said, and this, if this offends you, then, you know, it's my faith, not yours. My granddaddy would say, chew the meat, spit out the bone. What do you say to those who are going for their success, but they might be doing exactly what the Bible said when it says, what is a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?
But what I want to say is simply this, is that it's God that gives us the power to gain wealth. And you can gain wealth, but it's wealth without sorrow. And the key thing he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, when you keep your connection with God, don't ever think that you did. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing. I'll just ask you simply, if you're self-made, show me how you breathe and maintain the air in the air.
Okay.
There he goes. Look, give me the mic, Pastor. Because now I know where we're going. Guys, you've been listening to my pastor, my friend, my mentor. I haven't fallen much, but on those occasions when I had, I thank God he put somebody in my corner who did not judge me. When one of the times I fell was when my mother died, and I got word while I was at a conference in Arizona. And they rushed me back to Maryland because I said, no need of going home. I got to get my family. The first man to knock on my door was my pastor. First man. And I had so much respect for him. When my wife came up to get me, I said, I've fallen. And I can't have him see me in this condition. When you are assigned to someone, you have to understand your role in their life. My role has never been to put my weight on him, but to take weight off. And so the fact that you've always been there for me, Pastor, means the world to me. And I'd like to invite you back to this live show. I'd like to invite you to be a part of the One Due North FaceTime where we can bring more people in. I got 2 minutes there telling me, Pastor, is there anything you want to say? Because there's only one man I know that I will yield to every single time I'm in their presence. And I would be honored if you would take us out today. We got about less than 2 minutes, sir. Will you take us out?
Well, the one thing I want to say is simply I'm just honored. I thank God for the divine assignment. When I came here, Ricky, I had even no idea you were living here. So that just goes to show you another thing. You end up in places you don't know how God is ordering. But this is the one thing. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and called according to his purposes. Even if you don't even know that you love God, see, God is working things out. Your messes, your troubles, your obstacles, they all work together to make you. See, your mess will turn into your ministry. It'll turn into your mission. So don't get discouraged. Whatever you're going through, know that with God, he's making it into your purpose.
Well, sir, I want to thank you. I want to thank your beautiful wife, Mrs. Bush, and your family for allowing you time to come down here. I know you had to readjust some things. I want to thank the flight crew for being a part of it. And I pray today that not only you, but all those you are connected to receive something today. And to every listener, I want to challenge you. You heard Cedric Nash. You heard Chris McBryant. You heard my pastor, James Bush, and you heard the flight crew. You heard them all, and they all said the same thing. You got to have a plan, and then you got to work your plan, and you got to have a solid base to stand on. And so I challenge you at this point to check your base. My name is Coach Rick Terry, president of One Due North and host of Success in the Evening. And until we see each other again, I want you to know there is greatness inside of you.
think I'm able to carry on.